It had made him conscious how unjust, how cruel he had been to Sibyl Vane. It was not too late to make reparation for that. She could still be his wife. His unreal, unselfish love would yield to some higher influence, would be transformed into some nobler passion, and the portrait that Basil Hallward had painted of him would be a guide to him through life, would be to him what holiness is to some and conscience to others, and the fear of God to us all. There were opiates for remorse, drugs that could lull the moral sense to sleep. But here was a visible symbol of the degradation of sin. Here was an ever-present sign of the ruin men brought upon their souls. 3 o'clock struck, and 4, and the half-hour rang its double chime. But Dorian Gray did not stir. He was trying to gather up the scarlet threads of life and to weave them into a pattern, to find his way through the sanguine labyrinth of passion through which he was wandering. He did not know what to do or what to think. Finally, he went over to the table and wrote a passionate letter to the girl he had loved, imploring her forgiveness and accusing himself of madness. He covered page after page with wild words of sorrow and wilder words of pain. There is a luxury in self-reproach. When we blame ourselves, we feel that no one else has a right to blame us. It is the confession, not the priest, that gives us absolution. When Dorian had finished the letter, he felt that he had been forgiven. Suddenly, there came a knock at the door, and he heard Lord Henry's voice outside. "My dear boy, I must see you. Let me in at once. I can't bear you shutting yourself up like this." He made no answer at first, but remained quite still. The knocking still continued and grew louder. Yes, it was better to let Lord Henry in, and to explain to him the new life he was going to lead. To quarrel with him, if it became necessary to quarrel, to part, if parting was inevitable. He jumped up, drew the screen hastily across the picture, and unlocked the door. "I am so sorry for it all, Dorian," said Lord Henry as he entered. "But you must not think too much about it." "Do you mean about Sibyl Vane?" asked the lad. "Yes, of course," answered Lord Henry, sinking into a chair and slowly pulling off his yellow gloves. "It is dreadful from one point of view, but it was not your fault. Tell me, did you go behind and see her after the play was over?" "Yes." "I felt sure you had. Did you make a scene with her?" "I was brutal, Harry. Perfectly brutal. But it is all right now. I am not sorry for anything that has happened. It has taught me to know myself better." "Ah, Dorian, I'm so glad that you take it in that way. I was afraid I would find you plunged into remorse and tearing that nice curly hair of yours." "I have gone through all that," said Dorian, shaking his head and smiling. "I'm perfectly happy now. I know what conscience is, to begin with. It is not what you told me it was. It is the divinest thing in us. Don't sneer at it, Harry, any more. At least not before me. I want to be good. I can't bear the idea of my soul being hideous." "A very charming artistic basis for ethics, Dorian. I congratulate you on it. But how are you going to begin?"